afternoon. Wonderful to kōrero with you. Tēnā koe.
Thank you. Really good to kōrero with you. What a beautiful day.
Yes, it's a beautiful day here in Tamaki, ki te Tonga whānau. So wherever you are, we hope that you are well and fine. Thank you very much again for joining us. And if you do have any questions or whakaaro kōrero for Dr. Huhana, then please do whakapā mai, kōrero mai on a Wātea News Facebook page. Look, big talk around those that are not vaccinated, teachers and healthcare workers, Dr. Huhana. How is it going to affect our whānau hauā if the caregivers are not vaccinated? Because it is mandatory for caregivers to be vaccinated, is it not? And so what's the situation like in terms of caregivers?
Well, several of the disabled have had to actually ask them not to come back, because the problem for in the disability sector, a lot of our community is immune compromised. They can't compromise on that. Some of the providers have tried to say, no, you can't say they can't be there, but health and safety overrides their desire to keep their employees in the job. Basically, get vaccinated. I don't know about you, but if I was making that statement and I quit, I don't know if they are aware that it's a 13-week stand down with work and income. And if you've got a partner, you don't get any income at all. So, you know, they really haven't thought this through. The other issue there is that when I was nursing, we had to have vaccines. It was mandated. It always has been. It's part of the job. It seems odd that nurses are quitting after 30-odd years when they have to have all the vaccines available, because that's part of what they do. And I think a lot of it is bluster. I haven't seen a lot of nurses quitting. More in the regions where you've got more anti-vaxxers, they seem to be a little bit more hot under the collar. But in Auckland, Tamaki Makaurau, I haven't really seen a big influx of nurses leaving. It has led to shortages, but here's hoping that some people will see sense and come back.
Do we know how many caregivers it has affected, and particularly for our whānau hauā Māori? Do we have any idea? See, that's a problem too, isn't it? Because even in Pākehā media, we're seeing headlines with unsure of the numbers, but mass number walk out of education system, mass number walk out of healthcare system. But we don't actually know how many numbers there are, how many it has affected.
And so far, I haven't seen much kōrero from any of the disabled, that their caregivers, that they haven't had replacements, that they haven't been able to be accommodated. So far, they appear to have been. But I guess in the next week or two, we're going to start to see that roll out and what the real story is. And I'm keeping my eye out for it as well. But also, we've just done a campaign.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, Dr. Huhana, if they're, you know, because we've talked often about the lack of information, timely, proactive information to our whānau in the first instance, I'm just wondering then whether or not the information or whether or not the information, the resources available to our caregivers has also been very slow in rolling out to them, given that, you know, this is a community-wide issue. And so I'm just wondering whether you can see whether or not it's playing out with our caregivers, that lack of information.
Definitely delays. There's definitely been long delays. I mean, you look at how the Pacific Island community, when they had that big fright in August, they have come out en masse and gotten vaccinated. But we're looking at our Māori, they still haven't come on en masse. And part of it is they're not getting the funding, they're not getting the sponsorships, they're not getting the backup to be able to get whānau out there. But while our kaumātua and our kuia are showing high numbers of vaccination, it's our rangatahi. Again, it's our young people, it's our rangatahi that aren't stepping up. And a lot of it is, well, we haven't been getting to them. This has taken so long. This should have been done last year and prepared for that campaign. But one of the positives, although again it's late, is Taikura Trust reached out to a few of us to talk about our vax stories. So I've just submitted that one today, and that's going up on their website. This is November 2021. We should have been pulling these stories out as soon as we started getting vaccinated, because sadly, there's an awful lot of people out there that are now caught up in the rabbit hole of conspiracies and anti-vaccine because they're frightened. And there's good reason to be. People are seeing misinformation of people dying in thousands. We've had one vaccine death in Aotearoa. I'll make that quite clear. One. There've been some mild reactions for some, and there's been one severe reaction that I'm aware of. There may be a few more, but they stepped up on that. They countered that. They made sure they were safe and okay. That happens in all vaccines. It doesn't mean you wipe out a vaccine because you don't like the side effects. I was terrified. I'll be honest. I was terrified because I react. And even today, I had two injections that I now have to have every month for life. And I was terrified, and it worked out okay. I've had three vaxes of Pfizer, and I was fine. No side effects at all. But some people do, and one of the groups that's being missed out are those who want to be vaccinated but can't be, and they need to be protected in law, and they need to get exemptions for that. Otherwise, you know, really, we need to come down on this mandate, to be honest.
Look, and we're coming down to Pākehā Christmas, and that's when everybody takes their holidays and they go travelling. What about our whānau hoa in terms of, or not just whānau hoa, but anyone who is immunocompromised, very difficult to be able to travel, I would assume, given that they're not 100% sure whether it will be safe to go wherever it is that they go?
Well, we've made the decision that we won't be going anywhere. We're not even meeting up with other whānau, but we've also... part of it too is that we've set up a COVID plan in case myself or Sophie gets sick. We've actually got a COVID plan. We've got people to contact, we've got our bags ready, and we've got our backup, because I do believe it's going to get quite bad up around Christmas as well.
What is in your COVID plan? Because that seems to be a thing now, where health officials are encouraging each nuclear whānau to have their COVID plan. What is in yours?
We've got our medications. We've got our list of medications, because that's the important one. We have a change of clothes. We have like our knickers and all that sort of stuff, our taro. And we have basically instructions around how to care for me, how to care for Soph, what to do with my service dog. He has to go back to mobility dogs during that time, so he's safe. What to do with the cat and the caregiver and the support staff, and what we need to be doing, plus what do we take? You don't take your electronics, but you take your phone and those sort of things. You know, you've got a plan, and we've got emergency phone number contacts. So if anything happens and it's fast, all my whānau names are all there, all Soph's whānau names are there, and they're ready to be contacted should we need them to know. So we've got a first aid kit as well.
I guess it's no different from having an evacuation kit if there is a flood or a storm or, you know, that kind of thing. And now it's just an added one. Or you can also use your... you know, a hurricane kit, I guess, with a couple of extra bits and pieces tucked away inside.
Yep. So long as you've got your information, who to contact, because one of the hardest things will be if something happens to you, they don't know who you are, say in the middle of the street or something, you collapse, and then they've got to go ahead and try and manage without that vital information. And for instance, if you haven't got information there that you're allergic to medications and you can't talk, then that information needs to be there so that they're aware and they're able to not. My adoptive mum was allergic to penicillin. They would have killed her if it had ever been administered, and it was once, and she ended up in a coma. So it's so important that they know what you react to, what you don't react to. And in my world, that's a lot. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do. And it is no different. We've had an evac pack for ages, an emergency pack, and we've been building it up over months. We change the clay, we change the water, but we keep it stocked. And the reason for that is, it might seem silly, but if you look at the earthquake in Christchurch, look at floods and things, it happens fast. We need to just have time to pull those things out into the van and get out if we have to, or lock ourselves in and use it while we're in if we need to.
What's a pack then?
Packed. Packed in, I think I said.
Waterproof?
Oh yes, it's all. Oh, what's it packed in? It's in plastic. It's not herring. It's in plastic boxes that we got. You know, big ones from the warehouse. So there's big ones with the clips, waterproofed, all wrapped in tarpaulin as well. And we just every now and then, every 6 months, we pull out. We rotate the cans. We rotate the water bottles, and then we pop it back in with fresh ones and use the older stock so that it's not wasted. Yeah,
Well, we're going to no
we're
doubt
ready.
hear more and more about people's COVID-19 packs, probably.